The reading is written in Galatians chapter 4, verses 1 to 7, and is to be found on page 1170 in the Church Bible. Galatians chapter 4, starting at verse 1. What I am saying is that as long as an heir is under age, he is no different from a slave, although he owns the whole estate. The heir is subject to guardians and trustees until the time set by his father. So also, when we were under age, we were in slavery under the elemental spiritual forces of the world. But when the set time had fully come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. Because you are his sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So, you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has made you also an heir. This is the word of the Lord.
And I say just a prayer as we start. Dear Lord, as we look at your word this morning, will you use the words that you've given me and open all of our ears to hear the really good news of Jesus Christ, so that we may go into the new year rejoicing. And I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you, Peter. That reading, of course, was part of a letter. And it was a letter written by St. Paul to the church at Galatia. Now, we don't know very much about Paul's younger days or what his family circumstances were, but we do get lots of different clues about it from the different things he says in his letters. I mean, for instance, we know that his father was a Roman citizen. And we know that the family lived in Tarsus. Tarsus was a prominent Greek city about 12 miles inland from the Mediterranean Sea in what's now Turkey. And we know that Paul's family were sticklers to Jewish tradition. We know that because they had him circumcised when he was just 8 days old. And that was in honour of the covenant between God and Abraham. And then later on, they had him educated in Jewish writings and literature and traditions. And we know that his Jewish name is taken in honour of the first king of Israel from the tribe of Benjamin. And we know that they sent him to a fantastic teacher, one of the most prominent teachers of the day, a guy called Gamaliel, who was also from the tribe of Benjamin. So from all that, we know that Paul was himself a Roman citizen. Yep. He was brought up in a Greek city. Yep. And he was 100% Jewish. And because of all that, you can bet your bottom dollar that Paul would have been brought up to believe that he was someone special. After all, he was brought up under that special covenant relationship between God and the Jews. And he was an inheritor of the promises made to Abraham and to David. And all of that education in the law would have given him the conviction that it was really important to live in obedience to the law. And he would have believed that that was the only way to salvation. And it was exactly that conviction, the conviction that the law was the only way of salvation, that led him to so powerfully and so violently reject all the things that Jesus was preaching. You see, Jesus was quite simply taking everything that Paul had been taught and what Paul believed, and he was turning it all right on its head. And that's why Paul started persecuting the Christians so violently and with total and absolute conviction that he was in the moral right. It was the same sort of theory that those of you who've done your history at school will remember. Mary of Queen of Scots burned Protestant heretics at the stake in the 1600s. See, Paul thought it was heresy to teach Christianity versus traditional Jewish faith. And Mary considered it absolute heresy and treason to teach Protestantism versus Roman Catholicism. Both of them thought that anything other than what they thought was false, and that false teaching destroyed people's chances of eternal salvation. And destroying people's chances of eternal salvation is actually worse than murder. See, murder only destroys the earthly body, whereas heresy condemns the immortal soul to damnation. And incidentally, treasonable talk that teaches the opposite of what the rulers want to be taught breaks up society. So there's no doubt that young Paul really thought that he got right on his side. Yeah, right on. But then, just a bit later, you remember, he had that historic meeting. He was on the road to Damascus to do a bit more damage to the Christians. And suddenly, he met with the risen Lord Jesus. And that turned everything he believed right on its head, right upside down. He instantly realized that his persecution of Christians was, in fact, him being hostile to God Almighty himself. And so he stepped out of the straitjacket of assumptions that he'd been brought up in as a boy, and realized and accepted with gratitude what it is to be a real child of God, someone adopted into God's loving family, rather than being just a sort of distant relation by accident of history. Paul found out that Jesus is a real 180-degree revolutionary saviour who turns all preconceptions on their head. And that includes what it is to have a meaningful relationship with God. But Paul also learned another miraculous fact. And the fact that he learned was that when we say yes to Jesus, when we accept salvation from Jesus, when any of us have said yes to Jesus and said we will follow him as our Lord and Master, Jesus says, right, have a gift from me, the greatest gift I can give you, which is the Holy Spirit living alongside you. And the Holy Spirit is going to teach you how to be a child of the Father. The Holy Spirit's going to teach you how to be a brother of mine, of the Lord Jesus. The Holy Spirit's going to teach you how to be a full member of the family, not just a household servant or a distant neighbour. And he compared that to a child who's growing up. Paul now saw that the law has the same function as strict adults have towards children. Whilst we're still a child, we have to do what our elders tell us. Elders including teachers and others paid by our parents to look after us. And then, of course, there's grandparents and fussy old aunts and uncles as well. But when we become mature, when we grow up, and when we've got a developed personality, we start making our own decisions about what's right and what's wrong. And as we all know, in the period in between those two extremes, that's the period we now call teenage years, it's push and pull all the way. But whatever our age is, before we're converted to follow Christ, we're open to what Paul calls the elemental forces of the world. Those things that make us want to go our own way in spite of what we hear is the right thing to do. Those things that make us break our New Year's resolutions so quickly. But having committed to being a Christian, the Holy Spirit comes alongside us and guides us. He guides us into making the right moral decisions. And all those laws and the regulations that we read about in the Old Testament, it's not that they've been done away with. It's that they've been written in our hearts. We have them there right with us so that we know we're doing what God says and what is the right thing. When we have the Holy Spirit with us, we're on the way to being grown-up Christians. But in spite of all that, there's one more conundrum that Paul often mentions in his letters as troublesome. It's not only the fact that he feels that he doesn't deserve salvation and family membership, but it's the fact that once he'd received salvation, and in spite of the Holy Spirit living with him, he still messed up. Now, I don't know about you, but I know that feeling every day of my life. In spite of the Holy Spirit, in spite of being a Christian, in spite of my best attempts, I still mess up. In fact, when Paul wrote that letter to Timothy, he called himself the worst of sinners. But he said, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I'm the worst. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his immense patience as an example for those who were to believe in him and receive eternal life. I don't know if any of you have heard of a guy who was a very prominent evangelist back in the beginning part of the last century, a guy called Watchman Nee, who was a Chinese evangelist. And I love the story that he once told to explain how all of this works. Apparently a new convert had come to him in deep distress and said, no matter how much I pray, no matter how hard I'm trying, I still can't seem to keep faithful to God. I keep on doing wrong things and I'm frightened that I'm going to lose my salvation. And Watchman Nee said to him, he said, hey, you see that down there? That's my dog. Oh, he's a lovely dog. He's gentle. He's never bitten anybody. He's house trained. He never makes a mess in the house. Never, ever. He's obedient. He does everything I tell him. He comes when I call him. And he's my constant companion. And he's a pure delight to me. That's my dog. Oh, by the way, in that room over there, I've got a son, a baby son. Don't go in there because he's smelly. He's always making a mess, that child. He loses his temper and he throws his food around and he fouls his clothes and he disobeys me. But hey, who's going to inherit my kingdom? It's not going to be my dog. It's going to be my son, who's my heir. And you, and you, and you, and you, and each one of us are Jesus Christ's heirs because Jesus died for us. You and I are adopted as God's children. We're Christ's heirs, not through our own perfection, but through God's good grace. God is the wisest of fathers, and he knows that you can't teach a child to grow up unless you let her take care of herself. A child's going to make mistakes, and out of these mistakes will come wisdom. But even so, perfection never comes this side of heaven. So be encouraged. We are heirs of Jesus Christ. Let me finish with some words, not from St. Paul, but from St. Peter. Blessed be the Lord, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, and kept in heaven for you and you and you and me. Amen.